Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the Monday edition of Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Great to have you along. Welcome aboard. Today, Ted, we're going to have a sort of a half-price sale today.
All right, fire sale.
Sure. Well, we're just going to learn to live for half the price.
That's helpful. So, especially during the Minnesota State Fair. Well, that's where you're going.
That's true. I should ask our guest today about, do you take out a, because you're going to take the kids out this weekend,
I think,
right?
So, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to get out there and take out a loan, I think.
Sure, take a small business loan just to go.
Oh, my. Set a budget, perhaps, and stick to it, right? That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I guess you plan ahead for it and, go once every 10 years. Yeah. You can save up for it. It'll be fine. Really looking forward to it. And we talk about half price, so hopefully you won't just hang around for half the hour, because we've got a full hour of great insight. And we want to give you an opportunity to ask your questions, too, because this is one of those programs where you can get some great practical advice as we talk about, what takes up a lot of our time and attention. That's money. You work hard for your money, and you should save some, but it seems like every month something comes up that sets you back in your best laid plans. So if you're tired of working hard just to get by, then I want to just encourage you to stick around for today's programs. We talk Live Your Life for Half the Price. That's the title of the latest book from Mary Hunt. Mary is a best-selling author. She's written some, I think it's maybe 25 books now, founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living. It's a highly regarded and popular consumer organization consisting of interactive website, monthly newsletter, personal finance tools, has some 35,000 print subscribers, an average of 800,000 website hits per month. I read her column regularly in my local newspaper. And her books have sold millions of copies, books like The 7 Money Rules for Life. She was a financial columnist for Women's Day magazine and sought after motivational speaker. And we've had her on a number of times and I always look forward to it. Mary Hunt, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Neil. Great to be with you.
Is it 25 books?
It sure is. Okay. Boy, you're right on top of things.
Well,
this
we
is number 25.
Okay, well, and this was, a lot of, maybe some of the, I appreciated going through it. And by the way, we do have 3 copies to give away. We're always thankful when the publisher makes those available, so thanks to Revell for that. And if you'd like to be in the drawing for this wonderful resource, which has a lot of just practical tips, and you'll get some great insight, it's 877-93-FAITH is the phone number, 877-933-2484. So living your life at half the price, I guess, we know that, stuff doesn't bring contentment, because you talk kind of right at the outset about that. We know that's true, but it seems like it's kind of hard to remember. So maybe just set up the conversation on why we need to think about, making our money go a little further.
Well, there are so many reasons, but what you say is true to a certain extent, Neil. Stuff doesn't bring us happiness, but I have to be honest. Up to a certain point, people who are living below the poverty line are really, really destitute. Shelter, clothing, food, those are the things that really will bring them happiness. But what we need to realize is that when you reach a point of enough, whatever that is, but that's something so important to think about, more stuff beyond that probably will not make us any happier. In truth, it will deflect from our happiness, bringing us a lot of stress. And if they were putting all this stuff on credit so that we're creating debt, then we start feeling like we're in bondage to that. So there's this certain point, and I think it's important that we all kind of learn to recognize that with things as practical as clothing or, household goods or stuff in your kitchen cupboards or, how much are you really going to accumulate, and when are you going to put the brakes on that and say, you know, gosh, enough is enough. Yeah. This is detracting from my contentment.
We had a great conversation last week. We were talking a little about organization and kind of back to school time, and realize that, you know, you need to have a place for your stuff. That's one of the big things. But, and I know you've moved to a different place. I'm going to ask you about that here before the end of the show. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, living your life for half the price, I think all of us realize that, you know, dollars get stretched today. Prices continue to go up. Is taking a second job, is that should that be something that we consider? Is that the best way that we can do better?
Yeah, that is certainly one way to increase your income so that you have enough money that you can begin to start saving, you know, an emergency fund, funding your retirement accounts, planning for the children's education. You know, most people say, I just don't have money for that. I just don't earn enough to do that. So getting another job is an option. I don't think it's the best one because, just think about it, first you got to find that other job. You've got to find time to work it, or it might be overtime that you're going to arrange at the job you have now. But that's like a domino effect, because all of a sudden it's more time away from your family. You're going to have to wait for those paychecks. You can't get your hands on the money right away. It may push you into another tax bracket, which is going to detract from the net income and effect that you will have as a result of that. So while earning more money is always an option, I don't think it's the best option until we have exhausted something else called, you ready, cutting expenses. Because, I mean, it makes sense. If you are normally spending $200 a week at the grocery store to feed your family, and I can teach you how to feed your family, eating healthy food, doing exactly pretty much what you're doing now, but to do it for $100 a week instead of two, immediately you've got another $100 in your pocket. Now, it's money you've already paid taxes on. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to go to work, get a, you know, daycare for your kids because you're going to be working more. It's not going to put stress on your sleep hours and all. It just makes so much sense because it's money that you've already earned, already been taxed, and you can recover that so quickly.
Well, let's dive in and talk about food, because that, in fact, it's this book, you spend a couple of chapters on it, and plus you have some great recipes and things in the back, because this is one of the big expenses for really every family, isn't it? And it's just to continue to go higher. So.
I don't think that most families realize exactly how much they're spending on food, because most of us trick ourselves into thinking, well, it's the $100 I spend at the grocery store each week. Wow, I'm feeding my family for $400 a month. Well, unless you're very, very unusual in this country, you're spending more than that, because you're probably not taking into effect the coffee on the way to work, the drive-thrus, the takeout, the restaurants, the diners, all of that, which adds up to food. And you've got to add in if your kids are paying for lunch at school, if you and your spouse are taking lunch out, if you're working, you know, those business lunches and all, man, that adds up. And it's getting more and more expensive that by the hour, as food prices are soaring, restaurants, I don't know if you've noticed this, prices are going up like crazy. Fast food is no longer a bargain. And I think when we fail to realize that cost, we're doing ourselves a lot of harm. So in the book, I've separated this. You'll see that there's a whole chapter on grocery shopping. But then there's a whole nother chapter on the mother, what I call the mother of all budget busters, which is divided into two categories. There's replacement meals, and then there's entertainment. So when we eat out, when we're eating out too often, like every week, like every day, there are families who eat at least one meal out every single day. I'm telling you, they're spending more than the size of their monthly mortgage payment on food. That's a fantastic place to recover money that is leaking out of your life. And you're right, I spend a lot of time in this book on those, because I think that's the easiest way to right the wrongs and to get yourself on track, because it's the money you're not going to be spending on food and eating out that's going to give you the opportunity to live the life you love, because you're going to have money to save, to save for retirement, to save for kids' college education, save for an emergency fund, all of those things that are going to release your stress and allow you to really enjoy life more.
You know, you use the phrase, but sort of leaking out of your life. And that's really what happens for so many of us, isn't it? As those dollars just kind of, they disappear. We don't necessarily know where they went or how they slipped away.
true. I mean, and it happens to me. I mean, I'm not immune to this. If you recall, you know, I come from a pretty dark financial path. I know all this stuff firsthand. It's so easy to stop by the ATM on Friday afternoon, well, I'll get $200 out for the weekend. And by Saturday morning, you look in your pocket and whoa, did someone steal my money? I've only got $20 left. Well, where did it go? You can't remember. I mean, it is so easy to spend recklessly like that without writing it down. And that, you know, just writing it down helps to keep your mind in from going into neutral when it comes to spending the money.
Which, of course, I mean, even if you didn't create a budget and sort of, you know, tell your money where it's going to go, just the process of writing it down does have a pretty positive effect, doesn't it?
It really does, especially if you've got kids. I mean, especially teens, their hands are always out. They need the money. They got to do gas. They've got to do this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, you just slip them $5, $10, and before you know it, that money you got out of the ATM is just completely gone. You wonder, by Monday morning, what in the world happened to it?
All right. When we come back, if you're wondering sort of what happened to all the money, you'd like to live for less, we're going to talk about living your life for half the price, the life that you love, and just some ways that you can find more in what you're already spending. Find some ways, some important ways to save that are really going to help reposition you to be able to take care of the expenses that you really need to, reprioritize a bit, plan for the future, have some margin in your life. We've got some great advice coming up from Mary Hunt, founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living, formerly Cheapskate Monthly. She writes a regular column, newspapers, has written some 25 books now. Her latest, Live Your Life for Half the Price, is the one we're talking about today. We welcome you to join the conversation. We've got 3 copies to give away, so call and sign up for a free copy of the book. It'll be a great resource for you. And then if you've got a question, maybe a specific question about the food budget, or maybe it has to do with clothes or cars or mortgages, any of those kind of things, Mary Hunt's our financial expert on the line today. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. It's 18 past the hour, and ultimately we know that God does provide, and our daily bread is something we're called to pray for. And we're going to talk a little bit about the bread. Irma Bombeck puts it this way. She says, how come the odds of going to the store for a loaf of bread and coming out with only a loaf of bread are 3 billion to 1? We've all been there. We're going to talk about the truth about food shopping with Mary Hunt. It's one of the chapters in her new book, Live Your Life for Half the Price. Mary, of course, is founder, publisher of Debt Proof Living, best-selling author, 25 books, sold more than 1 million copies, of financial columnist, and with us today. So let's talk food, because you have some good recommendations for shopping. We want to get control of our food expenses. What are some guidelines?
Well, you know, people listening right now, their blood is running cold because they think they know what I'm going to say. You have to clip coupons.
Yes, oh,
you
no.
You have to become a coupon clipper. Now, some people, like you, Neil, I know you love to do that. Some of us are just not into it. And, you know, unless you really know how to do couponing, it's probably not going to make a huge, huge dent, because you've got to do it properly. But I've got a couple of tips that I believe anyone can use, and in conjunction with couponing, if that's something that you love to do. But these are simple, and people are going to go, oh, yeah, right, like that's going to make any difference. I promise you it will. If you will change your attitude to adopt this as your new way of grocery shopping, the first one, cash, a four-letter word, cash. When you go to the grocery store, the supermarket, to buy food for your family for the week or whatever, You've got to leave the plastic at home. I'm talking debit card. I'm talking credit cards. You've got to leave the checkbook at home. All of those things that allow you to be impulsive, to buy more than you planned to when you walked in. See, you're entering into a kind of a competition when you go into the supermarket. Everything there has been created to make you buy more, to spend more time there, to fill up your cart, from the music to the color of the walls, to how the things are laid out, to the lighting, all of that. And, you know, that's fine. I have nothing against marketing. I just don't want to get sucked in to do things against my will. And so if you leave those things at home and you take only the amount of cash that you have to spend. Now, if you want to take $1,000, well, just go ahead. I don't know anybody who wants to drop $1,000 at the grocery store. But I think it'd be better if you take the amount that you've planned ahead. I mean, yeah, it's called budgeting, but what amount of money do you have to spend? Is it $100? Is it $200? Is it $48.27? Whatever it is, walk into that store only with cash. Now, you might want to carry a little calculator with you. You might have one on your phone. You're going to be a different kind of shopper because you don't want to go through that checkout and not have enough money. Right there, you have made leaps towards doing better with your money. The second thing that I want you to adopt is a new way of shopping. Eat the sales. Now, I am first to admit that over the years, I've done a 180 on this. I would have told you many years ago the best way to shop is to have a menu plan, get your recipes all ready before you go, know what you're going to need, write it down, go into the store and buy only what you need, get out of there as fast as you can. That's an expensive way to shop because what's going to happen is you're going to pay full price for an awful lot of things on that list. You can't afford to pay full price. I can't afford it these days. Food is too expensive. But what I can afford is to buy what's on sale. Now, here's the truth about America's supermarket industry. Most of these stores work on a 12-week cycle. That means that over a 12-week period, something from every single area of that store is going to come on sale. And I mean huge discounts, like 60, 50, 60, 70% discount. It's true. Once every 12 weeks, peanut butter goes on sale. Now, it might not be Skippy. It might be Jif, but that's fine. You're going to buy what's on sale. You're going to take advantage of these huge bargains that stores have every single week. And you can know ahead of time. You can go online to look at the sale flyer for your grocery store. You can stop it and pick up the flyer. Or you can just wing it. Say, I'm just only buying things that are on sale. If chicken's on sale, that's what we're going to have this week. You know, if it's pork chops, we're not going to be having steak. You let the store determine. Now, when you get really good at this, you can do this in a couple of stores and pick up the bargains from both of them. But that can be time-consuming. I don't want anyone to think that that's the only way to make this work. It'll take you a few weeks to get on course with this. But honest, truly, you'll even find dairy products on sale. You're going to find produce on sale. Now, it might not say on sale, but you can tell by what is in season. Like right now, in the fall months, what's on sale? It's peaches and it's apples. So you're not going to be buying the far more expensive things that have a different season to them. These are just some little tricks. And if you're carrying cash only, you're not going to get waylaid by thinking, I've got to have 12 cartons of this or that because it's on sale. No, you can only buy as much as you have the cash with you to spend.
And the more you do it, obviously, the more you get used to what the regular prices are, so you know what the sale prices are, right?
That's right. It's very important. You've got to know your prices because we all know that supermarkets do little tricky things. They, like, for instance, especially this coming weekend for Labor Day, oh, my goodness. You just go in there and look at the big displays. There'll be huge displays, and it'll say special, Labor Day special, you know, this great thing. Well, we assume that that's a sale, right? Well, don't be so sure. You've got to know your prices. If it really is a sale, they're probably going to say sale. But it could be a phantom sale where it's only 10 cents off, where that's not a true sale. You'll soon learn what a real great rock bottom sale is. And as you get into this, you're going to be able to have the money to buy two or three of that item that's really on sale so that you have enough to last until the next time it comes on sale. This is the way to really make your grocery money really stretch far. without having to do a lot of prep called couponing. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can match a coupon with one of those super sale items, wow, you're going to save even more. And, Neil, you probably know about that.
I am a little obsessive about it. I just don't get them cleaned up at the end of the month when I should throw them away. But tell us about another thing you talk about. So cash only, eat the sales, but you also talk about reserve shopping, and I hadn't really thought about that so much before. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Reserve shopping refers to what I just mentioned, that when something is on sale, you buy more than you need for just this week or that you'll use in the foreseeable future. Now, you've got to be savvy about your storage, but take peanut butter, for example. I mean, I have seen some amazing loss leaders, which means a loss leader is when the store puts something on sale so cheap, they're actually paying you to take it out because it's cheaper than what they paid for it. But they're willing to do this to lure people into the store. Their thought is, if I can get Neil to buy that jar of peanut butter for 79 cents, chances are he's going to spend $17.99 for that beautiful T-bone steak that's, you know, strategically located within eyeshot of the peanut butter. And most times they're right. They know our human nature. But we can overcome that by being smart. So instead of buying the T-bone steak, you spend, you know, even $15 on peanut butter. You load up. It's such a great deal. So now what you're doing is you're taking home 15 jars of peanut butter. You're going to put one in the pantry for the kids' school lunches next week. You're going to put 14 of them into your storage, into your reserve. Now, if you start repeating this and using your money strategically, before long, you're going to have the equivalent of your own little supermarket at home. So that when you need peanut butter, you don't run to the store. You go to your own reserve, where you are building a reserve, a stockpile of groceries. And that's really the way you make your money go far.
And in a moment, we're going to talk about, you know, one of the ways that, you know, we think, well, we have to shop at all the discount food stores. But Mary says that's not necessarily the case, although it's a good thing to do. There are some stores that we should check out and have on our regular list, but there are other options as well. We're going to get to that as well. You may have a question about whether it's groceries or about buying clothes or cars or mortgages or even vacations. All those things are topics that Mary has covered in her latest book called Live Your Life for Half the Price. The idea is that it's the money you don't spend that ultimately gives you the freedom to live the life you love. Mary Hunt, founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living. Mary, what's the website before we take a break for people to find out more about your regular writings and opportunities there?
Well, I'm going to give you two real right. quickly. The first one's fun. It's called everydaycheapskate.com. Okay. That's where I post every weekday. And then the other is debtproofliving.com.
All right, debtproofliving.com and everydaycheapskate.com. Check those out for some great resources. Mary Hunt is our guest today. We're taking your calls at 877-933-2484. If you have a question or you want to submit something online, you can do that. Go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith Show page. There's an email link right there, and you can submit your question. Or maybe you've got a special bargain, something that you found. We'd love to hear about it. Mary's got always publishes great tips in her columns, and she's always looking to collect more. So if you've got a great money-saving tip, give us a call at 877-933-2484, and we'll continue more with Mary Hunt in just a moment on Connecting Faith. Yeah, bills to pay. Hey, we're trying to be wise with our money, being smart. Mary Hunt has been helping us do that for years through her Everyday Cheapskate column, formerly Cheapskate Monthly, and you can also find out Debt Proof Living. Mary's written some 25 books, including The 7 Money Rules for Life, Debt Proof Living, Cheaper, Better, Faster, Raising Financially Confident Kids. The new one we're talking about is called Live Your Life for Half the Price. And it's the latest from Mary. It's from Rebel. We've got some copies to give away at 877-93-FAITH. And we're doing a drawing for that here at the end of the hour. We're talking a little bit about one of the big areas that we can save some money on and actually, you know, get more money in our budget without actually having to go out and pick up that second job is saving on the food budget. So we're talking about doing a little reserve shopping by those loss leaders. Mary, you'd mentioned in the book about not being afraid of some of those high-end grocery stores, which we typically think, well, we can never go there if we're trying to save food money.
Well, here's the deal. You probably can't afford to eat there. I sure can't afford to shop there on a regular basis. But I'll tell you what. This is something most people don't understand. Is when that high-end store has a sale, boy, they really have a sale. Because if they're let's just pull something out of it. If their ground beef is usually $6.98 a pound, and they have a sale and bring it down to $5.98 a pound, you know, yeah, right, I can beat that all day long at my regular supermarket. So what they have to do when they put things on sale is to get attract new customers. So they've got to really discount it. And so they would put it on sale for maybe $2.99 a pound to make people go, whoa, that store is great. So their plan, even though that is below their cost, you know, this is all hypothetical, folks. This is an example. But they know that if they can get the typical person in the door to buy the hamburger, the ground beef, they're certain, like 99% certain, they're going to pick up a few other things on the way out. And they're going to realize what a lovely store this is and how convenient it is. And bam, they've got someone, they've hooked them. It's like they put out this bait on the end of a hook. And not only did that person nibble at it, they swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. Now they, you know, they leave with, you know, a $98 tab because they went in there to get this $3 ground beef. But here's the deal. If you can be smart enough to see what they're doing, great. Go on in there and get all those fabulous sales. The sales at the higher-end supermarkets are by and large way beyond better than what the sales you'll get at your regular supermarket just because of their structure and how they want to get new people to come in. So you can beat them at their own game, which is absolutely nothing wrong with that. You go in and get the loss leader, even if it's one item. Get out of there fast, and you've just bagged yourself a real bargain.
Mm. Do you use things like bakery outlets or maybe Aldi's food, some of those lower chain stores?
You know, absolutely. If you have a bakery outlet close to you, I wouldn't suggest driving 20, 30 minutes to find one. But if it's close to you, take advantage of that, but only if you are certain that the prices you're paying in there are lower than what you will pay at the supermarket when things are on sale. I think a bakery outlet is a fantastic thing, but I'm telling you, there are some hooks in there. You can go into a bakery outlet, and just because everything looks so cheap, buy far more than you'll ever consume or you have room to store, and you've just shot yourself in the foot because the bread was 50 cents a loaf, but when you bought 20 loaves of bread, all of a sudden, you know, you haven't saved anything, and you've just created yourself a problem. So you've got to really be wise. You've got to think clearly and stop being so impulsive. Stop assuming that you'll get enough bread to last for the rest of the year and never have to come back again, which is just not realistic.
Talking about groceries, one of the big issues, also you mentioned, we kind of alluded to it, the mother of all budget busters, the eating out. You quote a comedian who says, I've been so busy I don't even have time to cook for my kids. I don't want to say we eat out a lot, but I've noticed lately when I call them for dinner, they run to the car, which is a lot of us do that. But you know, there may be some families where it's like, you know, back to school now, your kids got activities. We really don't, you know, literally we do need to just grab something between, you know, soccer and band or whatever it is. So is it okay to be eating out just to do it less?
Well, you know, I absolutely don't believe anybody wants to cut that out from our lives. I mean, it's something we enjoy. But I think that as American families, mostly we've taken it way, way, way beyond a reasonable level. Where families are eating out so often, it's a chore now. You know, the kids, now where are we going to eat out? And finding it to be, I think it's false that we eat out because we don't have time to cook at home. When you think of the effort, getting in the car, having to find the place, get everybody into the restaurant, sit there and decide what you're going to get, wait for the lousy service, you know, by the time you eat it, it's not very good, and you box up what you didn't eat because you're going to take it home, put it in the refrigerator until it turns green, and then you feel better about throwing it away. you know, and then you pay the tab, and there's tax now. Most every place now taxes restaurant meals, plus 20% tip. My goodness. You know, a family of four can barely get out of a restaurant for less than $50. And it's usually not very satisfying because it happens too often. So in the book, I have a whole chapter on this, and we call it, we separate between meal replacements and actual entertainment. Meal replacements would be probably what you were referring to, Neil, when you said, you know, we've got our day. Dad gets off work at 5. We've got to be at the soccer field. You know, we got to pick up the kids from daycare, and then we've got to be at the soccer field at 5:20. And, you know, if we pack dinner in a cooler, it's going to have to sit in the car all day long. I mean, I can understand that. But what the secret here is to planning ahead. Plan ahead. Realize what non-perishable items you can have with you and how you can fill that in. Now, here's just an example. Let's say that your Taco Timmy down at the corner has a special on Tuesdays where they sell 10 tacos for $1, which I don't know if it's very reasonable these days. Let's just say 5 tacos for $1. You know that ahead of time. So you're going to bring drinks. You're going to bring, you know, some fresh fruit, and you're going to supplement that with some tacos from there because you know on Tuesdays they're really, really cheap. Now, that's what I call a reasonable meal replacement kind of thing that must happen in order to fit in with the lifestyle. But I think that pulling through the drive-thru as often as we do is probably not that necessary. And then I think the entertainment part, I think it's a wonderful – I mean, my husband and I love to go out to a nice meal, on a weekend especially. But, you know, it can be pretty disappointing if you haven't planned ahead and know where you're going to go. I don't want to cut that out of my life. But I think that it's better if we save that for special occasions. Maybe like birthdays, anniversaries, you know, when the kids have a special, you know, they've reached a milestone at school or whatever. Going out too often, it's like anything that we do too often, it loses its joy because it becomes too routine. So figuring out meal replacements, and that's a favorite chapter of mine because I tell you a lot of things about when you're having company and you need, you know, meal replacement items. One of them being you can hardly beat the price of the best white rice in town, which you can go to your local Chinese takeout and only order a container of steamed white rice. It's so cheap. Yeah. But you can bring that home now, and you've got the basis to start your dinner meal. You know, the same with fresh dough from a pizza place. Many of them will sell you the dough. I mean, we have one that'll sell you, you know, enough to make a large pizza for $1.50. That's pretty good deal. That means you can make pizza at home, even though you haven't been home all day to, you know, make from scratch pizza dough.
Good advice as always. You know, maybe Mary, we're going to talk a little bit about clothing and some of those things. But I know that speaking of entertainment, I mean, this is not a book. You've written a lot of books about, you know, kind of getting your house in order and all those things, money rules for life, but you don't recommend that we just become completely austere and we don't have to move to a monastery and give up everything. We can still take a vacation. We can still do those kinds of things, right?
Absolutely. You know, the whole criteria here is to do those things, but find a way to do it for much, much less. See, we're not giving up the joy. We're not giving up that. You know, Jesus said he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. I think that joyful living in our day and age, family vacation is part of that. I think it should be. But when we're unable to do that because we eat out 3 or 4 times a week, you know, there's a place that maybe we need to do some adjustment so that we can enjoy those wonderful things of life that will give us great memories and times together with our family.
Let's talk closets full of clothes that we seldom wear. What are some ways we can save in clothing expenses?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, the statistics say, and I think it's pretty sure, you know, the typical person wears 20% of the clothes they own. The other 80% find their way to the dark side of a closet. You know, it's stuff we don't wear because the wrong color doesn't fit right. What on earth was I thinking? But it was on sale. That kind of thing. And we can waste an awful lot of money on clothing. So that chapter of the book really suggests that we need to have some kind of a clothing plan for every person in the family. You know, just buying willy-nilly, just running to the sale rack and buying anything that, you know, looks like it might fit and then having it turn out to be something you'll never, ever wear, that's a horrible waste of money. Far better that you pay full price for one or two classic items that you will wear all the time. And so I go into that in that chapter about understanding style. Each one of us has a style. Each one of us have colors that we look far better in than other colors. We need to stay away from those colors that aren't good for us, you know, and we talk about that. And then if you're able to find things on sale that fit into this criteria, that's fabulous. It's wonderful. You may not always be able to do that. But if you will follow the principles, the steps, and the suggestions in this, and the resources in this chapter, I really think that it's reasonable to think that you really will be able to start having a wardrobe where you wear 100% of the items in your wardrobe. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
It would. That would make a little difference in our closets, too, if we actually took out what we're not wearing, which I guess reminds us that there are lots of sort of the consignment shops, secondhand places, where thrift stores where we can find maybe some replacement items there at a greatly reduced price.
That's right. And, you know, I talk in there, too, about the importance of knowing where to find a really high-quality tailor, because it's possible for, say you, Neil, you go out looking for clothes and you find the most perfect sports coat in the right color. It's exactly what would go with what you have. It's a brand that you just adore. Do you adore brands? But it's two sizes too big. I mean, you know your size. It's two sizes too big. Well, that's the criteria. If you take that to a tailor, a good tailor can bring that down two sizes. Now, no more than that, but just two sizes. If you can get that sport coat, because it's on sale for $19, and it's going to cost you $50 to have a tailor make it to fit you, that's a $69 sport coat, which is still a bargain. So, you know, that's something else. Finding a tailor, being able to have eyes that see these possibilities, that's another thing that will help you to really, really cut the cost of your wardrobe without giving up your style and your good looks.
Speaking of bargains, William in Coon Rapids called in. He says, how can one stop from spending too much on deals, for example, at garage sales? Any advice on that? I mean, it's sort of in that shopping mode, I guess, right? I have to have it. It's such a good deal.
Yeah, I kind of take the scorched earth method here. Stop going to garage sales. Why are you at the garage sale? If you're at the garage sale because you are looking for a white wicker chair to replace the one that fell apart, and you've got a certain set that's no longer manufactured, and you are going to the garage sale to look for that one white wicker chair, well, that's all, you know, you're not going to find any other bargains because you will not be looking for anything else. You know, I think garage sales, and sometimes we just lose it because we go looking for bargains, and what we end up doing is taking someone else's junk home to our house to fill our lives with junk. I don't know. I don't garage sale. I rarely even think about it anymore, which I used to be quite crazy about that. But I'll share with you, I have a particular need right now. My little grandsons, I think that we need some outdoor kinds of toys at Grandma's house, you know, like big wheels, things they can ride on. Now, I could see myself going out on a Saturday looking for exactly two items, a big wheel and a tricycle or something like that, you know? Now, that's a great, great way to find those items. I don't really want to pay full price, brand new, because I know many people use them gently for a very short period of time and then they get rid of them. But, yeah, the answer to our friend's question would be, if you were looking for something specific, write it on a piece of paper and don't look for anything else. That's easy.
It sounds good. We're going to take Patty's question in a minute when we come back from a break as we talk more with Mary Hunt. Her new book is called Live Your Life for Half the Price. Mary's best-selling author. She's founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living and writes a column that throughout the United features. You see it in hundreds of papers every day, and hopefully you read that and have read some of her books. We've got some copies of this book to give away. We'll do the drawing at the end of the show. And take your questions as well at 877-933-2484. More with Mary Hunt coming up in just a moment. We're talking about how to live your life for half the price. You know, it's the money you don't spend that ultimately gives you the freedom to live the life you love. And getting some wise advice from Mary Hunt. She's the founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living. It's been in continuous publication since 1992. She's written some 25 books, including 7 Money Rules for Life and Debt Proof Living and Cheaper, Better, and Faster Raising Financially Confident Kids. And I always enjoy her insights and perspective and help. And Patty is calling in from North Dakota this morning or this afternoon with a question about replacement. Patty, you're on with Mary Hunt. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, I'm the kind of person, I'm the kind of person that, you know, will buy something and then, you know, not replace it for 10, 15 years, and then it seems like all of a sudden everything needs to be replaced because it's getting older. Do you have any suggestions on, you know, like if you should replace things sooner than later, than when everything will go down at once?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting subject. You're assuming that you bought everything at the same time, but everything doesn't have the same lifespan. You know, take cars, for instance. My husband and I have a plan that we buy a car and we drive it till it absolutely falls apart. We take good care of it. I mean, we have a 15-year-old Chevrolet Silverado. I don't know if you know what that is, a pickup truck. It's in fantastic shape. I mean, I just can't bear the thought of getting rid of it. But I know it's not going to last forever. So the wise person, and this is what you can do when you're not spending all of your money every single week on, you know, stuff, is you're constantly putting money away because you know that the things that depreciate and wear out are going to have to be replaced at some point. Patty, I think that you could very easily set up a savings account, create your own little sub-accounts within that account where you're putting away, you know, $2 a week for a refrigerator. You're putting away $5 a week for this, that, or the other thing. And you're building up what we call a freedom account where you're anticipating the replacement of these things. It doesn't take much money. I mean, you can put away $50 a month and, you know, over a few years, you're going to really have some serious money set aside that when these items appear that they're on their last breath, you're not in a panic, and you can start shopping to find the best deal and find them on sale. I don't see there's any reason to replace, like, a refrigerator, air conditioner, anything like that, before it fails, just because you are fearful that, you know, I know you'll get caught short or something, but it certainly does help when you've got money set aside. That's living the life you love. That's what I talk about. It's the money you're not spending that's going to give you that kind of contentment and knowing that you're prepared.
They say a word about negotiating. If you're thinking some of those big ticket items, like maybe it's appliances or something that, you know, we they cost a lot. So should we be expecting to negotiate regardless of what the price says?
Well, you know, it certainly doesn't hurt, but it has a lot to do with our own personalities and temperaments. A lot of people are embarrassed to ask. But I think that there's a way that any of us can do this that is not confrontive and certainly doesn't make us, you know, appear to be obnoxious. I think that the simple sentence is there anything else you could do for me here? It's just such a very kind question. And the salesperson, you know, you talk about appliances. I'm thinking of when my husband and I made a purchase, a washer and dryer that was on sale at Home Depot. And as we were getting close, you know, to ringing it up, and the, you know, salesperson was telling us the sales price and what the tax would be and what the delivery cost would be. You know, I just very kindly said, well, you know, if we were to take there, is there anything else you could do for me? Now, if they say, well, no, I'm sorry, there's not, it doesn't leave me in a place of looking like an idiot, you know. I just kindly asked, was there anything else you could do for me? But when the response comes back, well, I could probably throw in the delivery charge. Well, that's great. You know, that was going to be $50-$60, and if they will do that. So it never, ever hurts, especially if you're finding something that might be slightly damaged. For instance, if you're in the, you know, Target or Walmart or somewhere, and you see the perfect blouse. I mean, it's the color you've been looking for. It's your size. You tried it on. It fits great. Everything about it's right, but you notice there's a button missing. Well, it's already on sale, and, you know, you might say, well, that's why it's on sale. Well, don't be so sure about that. It would be very reasonable to go to the clerk and say, you know what, this blouse is is pretty great, but I noticed that there's a button missing. Is there anything you could do for me if I were to take this blouse? Well, let me give you a little insider tip here. Most stores, especially your big chains, give their clerks, their salespeople, the authority to give a 10% discount. It can't be more than that, but they can give you 10%, and you can't believe how many times I've gotten 10% just because I asked, is there anything else you can do for me here? You know, so if it's in your personality, if it's in your nature to be willing to do that, you will be rewarded over time. It's not going to work every single time, but you haven't lost your dignity or done anything that would be considered, you know, inappropriate.
Again, we're just looking for some ways that we can save some money, some of the money that we don't spend that we already have earned. Well, we're going to sort of shift gears. I guess, you know, we can save some money in this, too. But Dorothy and Crystal wants to know, what's the product that Mary would recommend to take away musty smells in basements? She says she's heard Mary mention the product before but couldn't remember. And so that's going to transition to talk about your favorite cleaning supplies and strategies. What's in your house?
Well, I know what she's talking about. I write about it often, that there is a product out there that is pretty remarkable. It's non-toxic. That's the most important thing, is you don't want to, you know, clean up odors or something that's going to be toxic, and you don't want to cover up odors. The product is called Knockout, and it's spelled N-O-K-O-U-T. N-O-K-O-U-T. If you go to knockout.com, you can find that product. And our questioner, if you will just go to everydaycheapskate.com and search under the word Knockout, N-O-K-O-U-T, it'll bring up the columns that you're talking about. There's a method that you're going to have to do. If you can't find the exact location of that mildew, you can't just spray it in the air. You're going to have to do this strategically, but it really will work, and you can find all that in the archives of my columns. They're all there at everydaycheapskate.com. So go ahead and do that, and I think you're going to find exactly what you're looking for.
So, and well, just your favorite cleaning supplies and strategies.
Oh, well, I could be here all day to talk
about
that. I know,
and we only have 2.5 minutes left, so,
yeah.
Yes.
I have to choose between Dawn, Blue Dawn. It has to be blue. It can be any strength, but it has to be Blue Dawn, liquid dishwashing liquid, and white vinegar. Oh, I got to tell you, I'm going to give you the best recipe in the whole world. Get a spray bottle, you know, and fill it about 1/4 of the way with Blue Dawn. Fill it the rest of the way with white vinegar. Put the lid on, shake it up. That is the most remarkable cleaner there is. Just know that you must rinse it away. Don't be just spraying this around in the air because you're going to want to rinse it. But it is remarkable in the bathtub, the shower. It will take away hard water marks. I'm telling you, if you want to learn more about it, go to everydaycheapskate.com. And in the search box, just type the word scum, S-C-U-M, because I just wrote about this, about how to get rid of that soap scum in your tub and shower without ever having to work at it again. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Everydaycheapskate.com. Hey, just 30 seconds left. You just moved here, 6 months ago or so. Anything that you'd do differently now that you look back on it?
Oh, we made the move of a lifetime. Yes, there's one thing I would do differently. Every box I packed, I would have put a label on it telling me exactly what is in that box, and I would have a list, a written list of the boxes and what their contents are. We have run into a bit of a problem with our moving company because I didn't do that. This could eventually cost us quite a bit because several of our boxes, more than several, were lost, misplaced during our move, and now we have no way. I'm working at it, Neil. We had good insurance, so I'm still working at it, but it's caused me a great deal of stress and time. So that's my tip. Record very carefully, especially if you're going to put your things into the hands of a moving company.
Mary, I always enjoy the conversation and really love the columns. Read them regularly and get lots of great insight, and I hope that our listeners have as well. Find out more about Mary's writing at the website everydaycheapskate.com. We've been talking about her latest book, Live Your Life for Half the Price. Mary, founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living and a newspaper columnist, a motivational speaker. Mary, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. Mary Hunt joining us today. Hey, if you missed part of the program, you can always catch the interview online. We post it after the show at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Then click on the Connecting Faith show page.